Hi, I'm Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise. For years, there has been talk of a flu pandemic whose effect on Americans could be catastrophic. Pandemics have already hit Asia and Africa. How big is the threat to American employees and businesses? We asked this question to HR managers attending AMA's seminar, Fundamentals of Human Resource Management. Here's Kevin Lee with some of their answers.
What sort of industry is your company?
I'm from Paducah, Kentucky. We're a nuclear facility. We enrich uranium that goes into nuclear power reactors. We're a facility of 2,000 employees. Since we are in a rural area, we do have our own staff medical department. We have three doctors and a couple of nurses, but in our online newspaper that is sent out to all employees on a daily basis, it announces when they receive the flu vaccinations and that we can schedule times to go back and get our flu shot.
For a telecommunications company which has over 20,000 employees, as far as flu shots, corporate would inform us of when the flu shots are to be distributed. We post flyers around the building. We have a sign-up sheet with the dates that are being conducted for the flu shots, and then we have our employees show up for the free flu shots.
Last flu season, how many people took flu shots?
Last flu season, we probably had maybe about 40% that took advantage of it.
Is there any word or concerns from the corporate office about pandemics or like any sort of severe outbreaks of the flu, you know, for this coming flu season? Is this something that's talked about or is an issue at all?
No, not at all.
It really hasn't been discussed, and I do feel like I would be a part of that if it had been. But in our daily newsletter, especially in the winter months, there are articles all the time on wellness and what we can do to keep fit and those kind of things. But as far as epidemics or pandemics that may break out in the workplace, we haven't talked about that at all.
I'm working for Brazil LNG's liquefaction company. The plant will be built in one of the states in Nigeria.
In Africa or in Nigeria, is the avian flu something that's talked about in Africa?
Yes, actually, we had the outbreak last year. 18 of the states were affected. That time, the government passed the instruction that people should no longer eat in chickens and all these things. So about the breaking down of epidemic, we have a medical department. As soon as we had the information, our medical department will program employee the way for them to be aware when it is their turn to go to medical to collect this vaccine.
Could it be that businesses in Africa are more advanced than American companies in preparing for the threat of a pandemic? What can businesses do to safeguard their workforce? Joining us today to answer these questions is Mike McGuire. Mike is a vice president at Roche Pharmaceuticals. He is responsible for leading an internal team that is charged with the development of a pandemic plan that focuses on protecting employees and maintaining business continuity during a pandemic. Mike, first of all, I'd like to welcome you to Edgewise.
Thank you.
So let's start, Mike. What is a pandemic?
A pandemic is a novel strain of influenza that none of us have any immunity to. Every year we have seasonal influenza. And we have vaccines to help us prepare for that seasonal influenza to build up antibodies to that virus. A pandemic will occur when there is a novel or completely different strain of the virus that is circulating that none of us have any type of immunity to. None of us have seen before. None of us have been in contact with before. That means our immune systems do not have in their memory banks, if you will, the ability to develop a response to this virus. And that's why in a pandemic, the virus can spread to millions of people and can spread very, very quickly because none of us have any type of protection against that novel strain.
What's the likelihood of a pandemic today?
The likelihood of a pandemic is extremely high. If you really listen to a number of healthcare experts and infectious disease physicians in society today, they'll tell you it's a question of when, not if, the next pandemic will strike. And in fact, in May, Margaret Chan, who's the Director General of the WHO, said that a flu pandemic would be the greatest threat to global health in the 21st century. We have had, in the last century, three pandemics, in the years 1918 to 1919, 1957, also in 1967 and 1968. The most severe of those pandemics was the 1918-1919 pandemic, which through all accounts that we can see had a large global impact of millions of people dying from this novel strain of influenza.
What impact can such a crisis have on business?
It'll have a very big impact. In fact, the Congressional Budget Office estimates that a severe pandemic similar to 1918 and 1919 could cause about a 4.25% reduction in the U.S. gross domestic product in that pandemic year. When you look at something that could have such an impact on the financial side of business, what you really need to do is look at this as not a typical emergency, if you will. It really requires a unique response plan for your business. What you can probably count on is absenteeism rates are likely to be much higher and more prolonged during a pandemic. And in some models, they've actually looked at 30% absenteeism. So it really, really represents a significant impact on business and requires a much different planning process to handle.
So let's move on to what we can do about this. Can you share with us the key issues for senior management in the event of a pandemic?
Sure can. The very first thing is plan now. Start the planning process now. Now, how do you do that? You'll need to develop a team to manage the pandemic planning process. This team will report directly to the CEO or to senior management to ensure that any types of roadblocks are being moved out of the way. It'll also be important for senior management and the CEO to be involved to ensure that the right people are involved in the pandemic planning process. The second is you need to establish what your mission will be during a pandemic. A company that makes 100 products in their normal manufacturing may want to limit that down to the most essential products based on what your business is and what the businesses that you may be supplying need. And that'll be very, very important. The third thing is allocating necessary resources. They are both financial and human resources. As we all know, the best laid plans can quickly become useless without adequate funding to see them through to the end. And this will be very, very important that senior management has the foresight to understand the financial risks of not preparing far outweigh the costs of developing a pandemic plan. And lastly, I would say, communicate with your employees about the steps you are taking, you plan to take in the event of a pandemic. That starts with basic education about the difference between the pandemic and seasonal influenza, the educational process about how they can protect themselves and protect their family members will certainly be very important. And with regards to the communication process, take a look at your businesses, where they are located, and if the communication infrastructure were to go down or be slowed, do you have backup ways in which to communicate with your employees at various manufacturing sites in order to continue the manufacturing process?
Let's break this down further. How does the solution lie in pandemic planning?
Pandemic planning is very, very important, and pandemic planning right now is even more important. The WHO, World Health Organization, has six triggers for us to determine where we are in a pandemic. Right now, we are in phase three, which means there is a novel strain. There are some folks being infected, mostly in Indonesia, though we have seen cases in the Middle East and in Russia as well. The next stage would be stage four, which would include more human-to-human transmission. Stage five would be large groups of human-to-human transmission. And stage six would be an outright pandemic. Once we enter phase four with local outbreaks, it may be, and it probably will be, too late to start planning at that point in time. It is very, very clear from the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Michael Levitt, that the federal government will not be able to provide immediate assistance at the local level in the event of a pandemic. One of the reasons for this is it could potentially be occurring in many, many different places in the U.S. and actually globally as well. So if you're a global corporation, it could have an impact on your operations all around the world. One of the things about influenza infections is you could actually have the virus and you could be what they call shedding the virus, which means that somebody else could get the virus from you for up to 48 hours without you showing any signs or symptoms. So when a pandemic comes, the identification of those folks who should come to work and those folks who should not come to work will be important, and the communication of that will also be important.
Who should take charge of the responsibility for pandemic planning?
Senior management really needs to show leadership and commitment in terms of pandemic planning, and that should be something they take charge of. And they should really ensure that its importance is felt throughout the company. At Roche, our CEO designated a team to manage the pandemic planning process. It was our responsibility to work with many of the functional areas within the company to identify critical operations, critical individuals that we needed to have come to work who could work from home. We needed to take a look at how we were going to protect our employees, and we fed back this information on a continual basis to our CEO and senior leadership within the organization. One of the reasons that we'll make a plan successful is having involvement from senior level.
Is there a pre- and post-plan as well as the pandemic plan itself?
Yes. In fact, at Roche, we have developed a pre- and post-plan as well as a pandemic plan. And what companies need to do is develop full-scale plans that cover all of these three areas. They need to identify what their mission is going to be during that time period. So, for instance, if you make 100 products right now in the pre-pandemic time period, and you really take a look at what is most essential to your business and to the businesses that you supply your products to, you may actually say that only 30 of our 100 products are really essential. And in the event of a pandemic, you may scale back your activities to say, we're only going to be producing these 30 products and not the other 70 products that we produce. By doing so, you can then take a look at how am I going to protect the workforce needed to produce those 30 products. If we do not have the ability to manufacture those products, what could be the impact to us during a pandemic and our recovery phase? By protecting the employees, you also protect the idea of people coming back to work in your recovery phase to help you get the business back up to normal to the manufacturing of 100 products as we talked about before.
In terms of resources, you make your best guesstimate as to what you need not only in the Tamiflu, but also the resources to produce the product?
When you're taking a look at resources, one of the questions we always get is, where do I start? How do I guesstimate what is an appropriate amount of resources I need to put behind being prepared? The first thing is you need to ensure from a corporate perspective that there are adequate financial resources available to your pandemic planning committee so that they can execute the plan. For instance, senior management needs to understand that the financial risks of not preparing far outweigh the cost of developing a pandemic plan. If you don't have a plan and the pandemic hits, a number of the interventions we talked about, masks, gloves, antivirals, will probably not be available because of the demand that will occur. So understanding now that you need to plan on making those purchases and stockpiling those items is extremely important. The interesting part about all this is not an exact science. It's going to vary based on the size of the company, the number of locations that a company has, the number of employees. All that's going to determine the amount of resources, human and financial, that are put behind the planning process. What you need to do is consider the length of time the resources really should be available. That pandemic strike in two or three waves can last from 6 to 8 weeks each. So companies need to be prepared for a prolonged disruption of their business up to 18 months.
Now, you also mentioned earlier the need for communications. How would you describe the communications effort that would be part of a pandemic plan?
First of all, communications start well before a pandemic, and we kind of touched upon this earlier in our discussion. Companies must communicate with their employees if they want them to be educated about the threat a pandemic poses to the company and to their health. So companies should begin an educational effort by building awareness of a pandemic flu. What is the difference between pandemic flu and seasonal flu? What are the disease control measures to prevent employees getting sick in the first place? Also, what's going to be very important is to build redundancy in your communication plans. Corporations are going to need to have the ability to deliver credible, up-to-date information to employees consistently through the course of a pandemic. So you may need to have a phone system in which employees can phone in and get the latest information. Your corporate website may be providing information to employees. Those are some of the aspects that employers need to think about because employees are going to look to their employer for various types of information. Last part is that corporations themselves need to think about how they're going to communicate amongst their other sites as well. For instance, if the communication system goes down, and do you have backup communication abilities? At Roche, what we did So we equipped all of our manufacturing facilities with satellite phones. So if the landlines went down and we had an overuse of the cell phones, we would still have a way to communicate with our manufacturing sites. We've also developed secure video link-ups to all of our manufacturing sites as well, so that on an ongoing basis we could really get an idea of what is happening at that site in terms of the production of not only Tamiflu but other life-saving drugs.
Mike, I really appreciate your being with us, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
It would be great to hear your feedback on this program, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.